guys. Welcome to the Dad's Group podcast, where we build up dads to better support our families. Please remember to like, subscribe, and share with anyone who may benefit from this podcast or this episode. Your support will help us reach more dads and families around Australia. So please get on that, guys. We'd absolutely appreciate it. This episode is released in Parental Mental Health Week, which is a national week aimed at raising awareness and reducing the stigma around perinatal mental health issues. So today we're going to have a chat about mental health in parenting with Dr. Michael Hurd, who is a psychologist and trainer at Triple P. If you or anyone you know needs further support, then check out the Get Support tab on our website at dadsgroup.org. Or if you really need to, please get in contact with Lifeline on 13 11 14. Support is there if you need it, guys, so please use it. And I really think this episode is going to help all of us in big, big ways. So enjoy, guys. Hey guys, welcome today. Today we have Michael Hurd from Triple P. Michael, how are you going, mate?
Hi, Blair. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. I'm going to start off with the classic question that we ask here on the Dad's Group podcast. How are you out of 10?
Six.
Six.
Good. Yeah, well, the reason I'm six is I'm a bit challenged for projects that I'm working on at the moment. So I feel like I've got a bit of urgency involved in my life.
But absolutely.
My family's well, that's what's important to me.
So that's good. Good, yeah. I reckon I'm probably 6-7 as well for similar reasons, you know. I think this time of the year as well is bringing up a lot of pressure, a lot of deadlines, and, just trying to move things forward is big. So a lot of mental capacity goes out the window at that point. Yeah, absolutely. So, Michael, can you tell us about your dad stats, mate?
Well, I've been married for 38 years.
Congratulations.
So, well done. My wife had three children when we were married. So I started with three children. So I started as a dad from the very beginning. So that was a pretty unique challenge, but not so much unique. I'm sure lots of people experience it. So I had that dad experience, and we had another child as well. So we had four children. So I've been a dad for a fairly long time.
Yeah.
And something I discovered, I think, is really helped me when I was a dad of three children right from the word go. One thing was that my wife, Carol, and I were always together on things. We did this not accidentally. We didn't really plan it, but somehow or other, we were always together. And that really helped in terms of having a unified response, whatever it was regarding the children. And the other thing I thought accidentally helped me as a dad in that situation, which lots of dads listening to this might be in, was this, that I never made any comment about the children's father. Now, that might seem strange, but I consciously chose not to do that, and I let the children build their own relationship with me. And I now feel like, even though I sort of accidentally did that, I now feel like that was a really good decision. So that's meant now that I've got this really nice, my own relationship with the children. So that was two things I've discovered as a dad in my unique situation.
Well, that is unique, mate. That is awesome. And obviously would have come with a lot of challenges to find your place. Do you feel in that environment?
Yeah, lots of challenges because you initially feel like you don't belong.
Yeah.
You initially feel like you're not really a leader. So you've got to somehow establish this idea that you are going to be a leader in the family. So it's a really evolving process. Like being a parent in any circumstances is challenging.
Yeah.
But in those sort of unique circumstances, it has another layer of challenge that now it's fine for me to look back on it. Now I feel like I did a reasonably good job, even though it was very, pretty hard.
Yeah, can imagine.
But if you can manage it successfully, it's a nice experience.
And what was the age gap between your child and the next one up?
That's a good question. It'd be something like 10 or maybe 12 years. I'd have to sort of do a bit of maths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a bit of a gap there, and that's quite cool because you'd have had a bit of experience before, you know, going into number four would have helped. And so do you feel that you did things differently because you had that previous experience of being a dad, you know, and raising some kids?
Yeah, I think I did because my whole life has been working with children and families. So not only was I embedded in this family situation, but I've worked in families and children for 40 years. So
it's
constant learning experience. But I sort of see it as that. I've just learned so much just by being involved in that family being involved in working with families for so many years as well. Yeah. And they've just taught me so much. And I'm still learning.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's been that draw for you to be so focused on families for so long?
Well, originally I was a teacher before I was a psychologist, Blair. And so I really enjoyed that job. And I enjoyed sort of the relationship building stuff that you form with children.
Yeah.
That really fascinated me. And I really enjoyed it. And little things like when you see children out at the shops, and they come to say, talk to you. And I really enjoyed that. And even had children that I taught like 20 years ago, and I run into them somewhere and they come up and talk to you. And I really enjoy that relationship building process. So I really like the challenge of challenging behavior around children and supporting parents around those sorts of challenges. I really enjoyed that. And I worked in a program called the Management of Young Children program for 18 years, which was a clinical program for children 2.5 to 7 who came along to our center 3 times a week. And they worked behind a one-way glass. It was very clinical, but I learned so much from those families. I was certainly able to help them as well, enjoy their children, but I felt like I learned a lot just by watching those families who were very challenged by their children.
Wow, what an experience.
We'd have children like climbing on the roof, or one child, one day he got away from his parents and eventually climbed on a double-story roof on the school next door. We had to get the fire brigade out to get him down.
Wow.
We don't even know how he got up there.
Wow.
But being able to support families with those sorts of challenges was a great experience for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine that would just really fill your cup, for sure, helping those families. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
So, mate, we've jumped the gun a little bit there. So I'm going to bring it back just a touch. And can you just share with us, so currently you're working at Triple P, you're part of Triple P parenting programs. And can you tell us what that's about?
Well, I work as a trainer with Triple P predominantly. I'm deputy head of training here in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I train practitioners in all the different parenting support programs of Triple P from the University of Queensland. And now there's about 30 different types of training that we can do with practitioners across a whole broad spectrum of levels of intervention, because parents then can access the level of support they need.
Yeah.
So I train practitioners, and I originally trained in 2008 as I was working in a private clinic. But I trained as a trainer at the university in 2008. And then from there, I worked right across the world in the UK and the US and Canada and Hong Kong and Singapore, training practitioners. And Blair, my first training when I trained as a Triple P trainer was a 3-week contract. And my first job was in Blackpool in the UK. And I arrived from Australia and they had lost my luggage. So I'd spent a week preparing. And my very first training was in Blackpool with a group of people who worked for the police. And I had to wear the same clothes that I'd spent 24 hours in on a plane. And then the person who trained me from University of Queensland was coming to watch me as well. So it was a very interesting first experience as a trainer. But of course, I've then gone on to do lots of training everywhere, and I've really learned a lot from the practitioners I work with too.
Absolutely. Do you find that because you're training so much, that has really shaped you as a dad, but just you as a person as well?
Yeah, well, I suppose what happens is that we present this training process that's a research-based program, but the practitioners, they share their opinions, they share their ideas, so I get to hear their ideas as well, so that blends with what I think as well. So that's pretty helpful also, all the practitioners' opinions. Particularly, we work with a whole spectrum. It's not just psychologists. We work with social workers and GPs and occupational therapists, educators, teachers, a whole variety of people, not just psychologists.
It's pretty interesting. Absolutely. So I was digging around on the Triple P website earlier, and so you said there's about 30 different courses that you guys deliver now. And I saw a part that talking about how you fill out your information and you kind of design your own course in a way or something, or it's like you can find courses that more cater to your situation.
Yeah, you can. There's a whole variety of levels of program. For example, practitioners might just train in a program to deliver a seminar, and a seminar might just be a presentation, a 90-minute presentation. So they might train to deliver a seminar like that. Raising resilient children is one topic, for example, that So there's different seminars for children from 0 to 12, for children who have disabilities, for teenagers, a variety of seminars. They can be trained in a higher level of program, say a 10-session individual program, what we call standard triple P, a 10-session individual program, which is quite an intensive program. So that particular parent might have a much greater level of need than a parent who just come along to a seminar.
Yeah.
And there's even higher levels of support as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you talking about, like, so sort of support, you know, is it like sleep training? Is it behavioral training, like, you know, helping with behavioral issues in the family? What sort of topics are you looking at?
Well, it depends on the program they're doing. I suppose if you think about babies and sleep, if that's what you're asking about, that we do have a program called Triple P for Baby. Mm-hmm. So that's something perhaps we could talk about as we go through this process as well, some detail about that, because dads might be really interested in logging into that, because it's an online version of that now as well.
So that could absolutely be, and that's free in Australia now, right?
Yeah, that's free in Australia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, courtesy of the federal government. They've seen the need to support parents, and they provide it for free. So if you live in Australia, you can access it for free, and other programs as well.
Yeah, fantastic. That's amazing, mate. So you are working a lot with families and the different situations that they come across, right? So we're coming into Parental Mental Health Week as this episode releases, and really trying to bring awareness around to that mental health struggles that people can go through. Can you expand a little bit more of what does that mental health issues look like in that perineal period?
Well, yeah, I suppose we need to think about what that perinatal period might be first. So it's that period from when a person is pregnant, from when the child is 12 months of age. So it's quite an extensive period of time. So, and if we think about what parents could experience in that, we know that with mothers, for example, possibly one in five mothers could experience anxiety and depression in that period of time. Mm. And one in 10 fathers could experience anxiety or depression in that period of time. So if we were to go down to the local shopping centre and round up 100 dads, 10 of those dads might be experiencing anxiety or depression right there and then, possibly. So that's one thing to consider. And then I suppose is the amount of people who might experience those sorts of challenges. If we think about the outcomes for parents who experience that sort of thing, it has a big impact on relationships, effectively. Relationship with your partner, if you have a partner, relationship with your infant, mm-hmm. if you're experiencing anxiety and depression, can have a big impact on that as well. Also impact on you personally as a parent. Mm-hmm. If you're experiencing anxiety and depression and you have pressure on you to feel like you've got to be somehow this perfect parent because you've had this brand new little baby, but you're experiencing anxiety and depression, that's this double challenge now that you're experiencing. And even families can have this sense of pressure on you, that you have this brand new little baby you brought into the world and you're really struggling personally, and your partner may not even be aware of it, and you're struggling trying to sleep because the baby wakes up four times a night, you're feeling all this expectation from your family. What a challenge that is for parents.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel that these days, I know definitely when I was about to have my first, so we've got four, and when we're about to have our first, I never really even knew that perinatal mental health was a thing, you know, like I didn't really know about perinatal depression amongst women even, let alone men, right? And I feel like that's becoming a bigger topic these days of that men can struggle with perinatal postnatal depression as well. So I think it's huge. Where do you find, through your research and your conversations with people, do you find that there's a specific message that would be relatable for dads in that perinatal mental health period?
Well, it's probably a challenge you're pretty aware of. It's being prepared to ask for help, being prepared to be aware of what's happening for you, and be prepared to ask for assistance. And I think that's improving. I've seen that improve in men in Australia. Even little things I've seen changing. For example, 30 years ago, if I was doing a presentation around parenting, I would have a whole room full of women.
Yeah.
And now it's almost half and half. And that, to me, sends the message that dads are now really starting to get that sense that, yeah, parenting is important to me and I'm involved in it and I need to look after myself in it and I'm equally as important as the mother. I think that I'm getting that sense that that's shifting. Yeah. It's still a challenge, though, I think, for dads or men to ask for. Even me personally, I would find that a challenge too to feel like, I can't quite handle this. I need some assistance.
Why do you think that's such a challenge for men?
Well, I suppose there's this belief that maybe it shows a weakness if we've got to ask for help. But of course, we're trying to send the message that it doesn't.
Yeah.
We need help to do everything often in our lives.
Mm.
And if you think about it, the message it sends to the children as well in a family, if we are prepared to ask for help. So we want to be able to send that message to children that asking for help is a very healthy thing to do as a human being.
Absolutely. What would that help look like? Do you know what I mean? If I ask for help, what does that mean? Like, you know, I don't have to worry about meals for a bit. Someone's going to bring me meals or something, you know, like, what can you give some specifics of what that help could look like?
Well, I suppose if we think about a person who, say, experiences anxiety around having an infant, if they went through the motions of eventually going to a psychologist or going by their GP to a psychologist, the sort of help they'd receive is often a talking help. We know that certainly exercise is important, but talking help often is about helping people think differently about their situation. For example, sometimes parents might be very anxious about taking a brand new tiny baby to the shops. I've had a preterm birth. They've been in the neonatal unit. They've come home and they don't want to take a preterm baby out, and they're very anxious about that. The sort of thoughts they're having in that situation is, I can't do this.
Yeah.
My baby is in danger. If I take them out, something could happen to them. So part of talking support, what we call cognitive behavior therapy, is about helping people think differently about those sorts of situations. Because we know it's what we think in situations that impacts how we respond. It's not what actually we have. It's not the fact that we want to go to the shops. It's the fact that what we think about going to the shops. So if we can help that person start to practice thinking differently, for example, I've been to the shops before, I probably can do it again.
Yeah.
Or I've taken my baby to down the road to the shop, I can probably now take them to the shopping center and they'll be okay. So they may not be great examples, but what I'm trying to point out is that as we can practice thinking differently, that can help us with our anxiety.
Mm.
And what we know about anxiety is that what maintains anxiety is avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
So people who avoid anxiety-provoking situations, like going to the shops, if they avoid that forever, they will just maintain the anxiety. So what treats anxiety, what supports anxiety, is exposure. So we have to carefully help that person, carefully and slowly expose themselves to taking their very fragile infant to the shop successfully. And it's a slow process. And part of that is changing their thinking as they do that. Part of that is developing coping skills. There are also things that you might say to yourself, physical things you might do. Even taking one breath is an example of a coping skill.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of people that are recognizing these anxieties within themselves, these mental health struggles within themselves, and they're getting the help that they need, but there's still quite a lot, and this was my situation too. Like, I don't really understand what my struggle is. I don't really understand why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling or why I can't do the things that I want to do, especially in my fatherhood journey. And so, you know, for those that are trying to do a self-evaluation and exploring this within ourselves, what are some indicators that we can look out for? But also it might not even be us, you know, like it might be our partner or even a friend that we know of. And we're just asking that question of like, how are they actually doing? What are some indicators that we can look out for?
Well, probably the biggest indicator is, it's a bit like with children as well, it's changes in behavior or mood are pretty good indicators of things. And it's really hard to monitor your own changes in behavior and mood, but they are big indicators. For example, say you lost your keys and normally you say, I better look, where was I last? You go around, I was in that room. Yeah, where was I there before that? And you go in this process of trying to find your keys. But now you have this sense of anxiety, you explode about not being able to find your keys, something quite simple. So that's an example of a modification of behavior that either you can recognize in yourself or even your partner might recognize. It's pretty challenging to bring that up with a partner.
But
changes in behavior or changes in mood certainly are indicators.
You brought something up interesting there, which I think is a really big pain point or struggle point for a lot of guys, a lot of dads to bring up to their partners that they're struggling, because there's so many mixed emotions in that. It's like, well, you know, my wife has just given birth. She's gone through all of this. Like, why should I be addressing my needs? You know what I mean? Like, I'm low, so what? She's the one that's gone through all this stuff. And so there's a big guilt element to have, even to start that conversation. What would you say to that? Like, for the dad that's struggling with, like, I don't know if I can voice this because I feel guilty to do so.
Well, let's think about that a little bit. In Triple Queer, we operate what we call this self-regulatory model. That's about helping dads or parents think for themselves about what is happening. For example, I'd be looking to ask parents or dads like that, tell me a little bit about what you're doing with your infant today. Mm-hmm. Tell me about what you did this morning. Did you manage to change your nappy? Yeah, tell me about that. What was that like for you? So they say, oh, I did this and this and this and this and this. And yeah, and I did this. And then I was talking to them. Oh, then I sang a song. Oh, so what sort of messages do you think that's sending to your infant? What sort of message do you think that's sending to your partner when you do those little jobs, those day-to-day jobs that you do? Because it's a combined effort, this parenting business. And yeah. So helping that dad, or if feeling that way, to try and establish what it is they're doing that is part of their contribution to being a parent is really important. As opposed to me telling that dad what I think is important, I would like to think I'd be able to help that dad examine for themselves what it is they're already doing so they can feel good about that. Yeah, I do that. Mm. I change the baby and I sing songs, and this is the song I sing. Mm. And we really help them establish what it is that their contribution is to this little person. Because the mum's had a big contribution, but the dad's contribution is pretty important.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's great. So that goes into, you know, what we talk about, and we really try and encourage that within dad's group in general, is that self-care for the dads, right? So, you know, making sure that we are getting our cups filled, that we are looking after ourselves, because if we don't look after ourselves, then we go into our parental journey empty, and we cannot perform in the way that we want to perform. Now, self-care is a word that can be thrown around so much, and I think it loses a little bit of its power and its impact, you know, that word self-care. I think it's so hard to do as a parent as well, because you're not just thinking of yourself. You've got this little one to think of. You've got your partner to think of. So from your perspective, what does it look like to do self-care well as a parent? And do you have, like, practical tips that we could take away from that?
Yeah, well my take on self-care is that every parent has their idea of what goes well for them. And it's not up for me to say what I think might work well for you, Blair. But what we can think about in terms of self-care is that if you think about all Triple P parenting programs, there's five positive parenting principles that are in Triple P. One of those principles is the importance of looking after yourself, taking care of yourself is one of the principles. So the first thing I'd like to think about as we talk to parents about this is to have a consciousness of that being a parenting strategy. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of other parenting strategies, but another parenting process is to look after me. So first of all, a consciousness of that. But when you bring a baby home who's been in the neonatal unit for 3 months, they're very fragile, and you bring them home and all you want to do is just focus on this little baby and give everything to make sure this little one's had such a challenging start to life. You want to make sure everything is perfect for them. So you're not thinking about looking after me. No, we've got this very needy little baby. So helping parents like that discover the value of looking after themselves, because if I'm the parent and I'm well looked after and my relationship is well looked after, let's think about what the outcomes of that could be. So the outcomes of that could be, I'm going to be calmer with the infant. I'm going to be more responsive to the infant. I'm going to speak to my partner in a calmer way, possibly. I'm going to cope better, maybe, with not having as much sleep as I'm pretty typically used to. So we're trying to help parents discover that. Mm-hmm. And you and I might talk about how important it is, but in the day-to-day working with families, it's far from their mind.
Yeah.
The parent comes along to the clinic to see me in some way. They're not thinking about looking after themselves as being an important part of this deal. They want to know, what am I going to do, Michael, to fix this behavior? So it's a real challenge bringing our awareness. So when I say it's a consciousness, and for us, and even for dads, to make it a consciousness, to look after ourselves is very important. Now, whatever that might look like, sometimes it's having a shower. Mm. Sometimes it's going for a walk. For example, here's an example of a family that I'm working with. I have two children, a five-year-old and an eight-month-year-old, mm-hmm. and the parents decided that the mother goes to bed at 7:30 when the children go to bed, and so then the dad feeds the eight-month-old late at night at about 11, gives them a bottle, and then the dad goes to sleep, and then the mum wakes up early when the baby wakes up, and so their self-care is a plan.
Yeah,
that's self-care.
Yeah,
as opposed to them just trying to survive that process of little ones waking up and feeding them during the night. They have a plan. So being planful can really help us self-care. And I suppose that's where Triple P can support parents as well.
Absolutely.
There's one other thing I think is really important as we think about dads and self-care is this. It's okay to muck it up.
Yeah.
It's okay to make mistakes. I make mistakes. Because parenting is a learning experience. Sometimes we think we're born knowing how to parent, but we aren't necessarily. We are born, to some extent, having some nurturing sense, but we learn so much on the job.
Yeah.
And it's okay to muck it up. I think that's a big part of self-care, having that thought in our mind.
Yeah, and I love that too, and I love what Triple P brings to parenting, I guess, is that way that we can now, there are things that are in place or that can be put in place that can help us with our intentional journey. So it could be the intentional conversation that I need to have with my wife to help us navigate through this new season, or it's even just for myself. You know, my wife is being open and transparent, but I'm struggling to do that. So it's a very practical thing that can be done as a couple to grow in our parental journeys, because I think and this is the other beauty of it, you know, I feel like we always need feedback, I guess, or just something that we can have as a, not a measuring stick, but even just something to work towards. Because if we don't do something like Triple P, if we don't do something where we can be intentional with where are we heading towards, like where do we need to improve? I know of all the big mistakes that I've made. I know of all of those things because they, you know, some of them haunt me till today, right? But when I'm not in that evaluation stage, I don't know if that's the right way of saying it, but if I'm not doing that internal reflection, even with my wife, we're just aimless and I feel more hopeless. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I have the confidence that I can move forward and I can grow as a parent. So I love this sort of stuff. I love the programs. I love the thought and the research and the investment that's been put into this to help parents like myself to be intentional and to have those topics to discuss.
Yeah, well, one thing that struck me about something you said, Blair, was how you communicate with your partner about parenting. Mm. And if you do that, lots of parents don't do that, but if you do that, that's a self-care process. We're communicating about how we're going to parent this little person. Therefore, we're getting a plan of what, so we know what we're going to be doing. And think about how that looks after you.
Yeah.
We know what we're going to do in certain situations. We know what our plan is at nighttime. We know how we're going to guide our little one when they become mobile. We've got that communication going. And when I think about elements of Triple P for Baby online that parents can access, communications and partner support is a big part of that program.
Huge.
Yeah, that's a really good thing that struck me with something that you said.
I think it's really important because, I mean, again, we're building teams, you know, where it's teamwork as a family. Like, it's my kids have a part to play. So my oldest is 6, my youngest is 7 months, and my oldest is still a part of the team, right? And he still has a role to play within the family and even in the investment of my youngest child, right? He still has that role to play. And again, going back to Triple P and the support that you guys provide, it's kind of like when a team come together. And it's the team on the field without Triple P and programs like that. It's like the team are coming together. It's like, hey, what's going on? I don't know, man. I thought you were watching it. I don't know. But it's just that person on the outside that's been on the sideline can say, hey, I've seen these things, or these things I've seen in another playbook somewhere else. I can, you know, you guys might be able to pick up these tricks and things too. And again, that's what I really value, is just that tool that we have to take away.
Yeah, I suppose the challenge is that not all parents see that communication. I remember a family I worked with, a husband and wife. It's pretty rare for me to work with a husband and wife. Anyway, I was, and we're talking about parenting stuff. We'd gone for a few sessions, and I said to the parents, are you able to talk about all the stuff we've talked about at home? And they said, oh, no, we only talk about parenting when we come in to see you.
Yeah.
So that really surprised me. So they hadn't quite got onto this idea that we're talking about stuff that they can communicate with at home.
Yeah.
So my challenge was to help them think about the value of communicating with it at home. But strangely enough, you'd think all parents would talk about their parenting, but I find that they don't necessarily.
Yeah. Now, this is going to be a wild card question. Okay, so prepare yourself for this. And if you don't have something, that's fine. But with that, and again, I just see communication as a really key element of relationships. When it's lacking, it can be horrific. When it's working, it can be the greatest strength, right? So for the people that are listening in, hearing you share with us, Michael, that can be looking at themselves and be like, yes, I'm one of those couples that just communication is really, really hard for us to do. Do you have like 5 or 10 or, you know, whatever quick questions that they could ask together that we could give our dad to be like, cool, take these little tips away, these tiny, tiny snippets away to start the conversation, even in starting the conversation towards doing something like Triple P?
Yeah, I'll try to have 5 tips, but one of the things that I find quite useful, this is, sounds very basic, but one of the things I find quite useful in part of Triple P for Baby Online is what we call a casual conversation. So this is a situation where one parent's been out to work all day maybe, or even gone to the shops, and the other parent's been home looking after the baby, and the parent comes home. So it's about what that conversation looks like. So that conversation could look like, yeah, what have you been doing all day? All you had to do was look after the baby all day. I had to go to work. What have you been doing all day? So we're not talking about that. We're talking about how do we help parents communicate with the person coming home, communicate with the partner looking after the child, to ask them a question, how did you go with the baby today? To listen to the answer. Challenges, we could say to the parent, this could be a tip. Is that something you want to talk about now? Maybe problem solve that now? Or is it something we could talk about later? So what we've got is a way of stopping and listening to the other partner so that the partner can communicate about the child. We can play a part in problem solving as well, rather than us coming in and just ignoring the situation, blaming the other partner because the place isn't even tidy and you've been told all you had to do is look after one baby all the day, there's stuff all over the floor. We're trying to help parents see the value in taking that listening step, casual conversation. When they get home, they could even just have gone to the shops and come back to check on how they went with the baby.
You said it's basic, but man, I find that so powerful. You know, it's really about the way that we frame questions and the way that we're actually trying to communicate. I think, again, being intentional with that, what's my aim here? It's not to pick a fight. Like, I'm not trying to pick a fight here. This is for the dad that's genuinely wanting to grow in communication with their partner. You know, I think that's really clear and important to understand the difference there. You're not trying to just start like draw things out that they're not doing, really trying to start the conversation. And I think another big thing too is I find myself in a trap, again, chatting to people on this podcast and just through dad's group networks, and I kind of do the comparison thing, right? Like, this is, you know, why can't I do that? Why aren't I communicating the way that they're communicating or the way that that organization is promoting, whatever else? Like, why can't I be there? Why do I have the struggles that I have? And I think something that I've found extremely helpful is to understand the journey. You know what I mean? Like, I think the biggest thing to start with is the identifying of the areas that I do want to grow in. And then it's like, cool, all right, give myself some slack. I've got to start somewhere. And if I want these things to be embedded into my life, it's going to be a journey. I'm not going to be there tomorrow, but I'm going to put things in place, surround myself with people, connect with my partner to be growing in this area. So really, yeah, a big thing for me was to give myself that time to be on the journey.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Michael, Wrapping up here, I did want to ask this though, because again, if someone's listening in here, we've spoken a lot about Triple P and the courses that you guys provide, and the support that you have there. But do you feel that there is, you know, if someone's listening in, it's like, yeah, man, I really want to grow in these areas, or I really need support in these areas. Could you recommend? Is there any recommendations that you would be able to give them?
Well, certainly, just to highlight what's available for parents for free, courtesy of the federal government, the 0 to 12 program. That's for parents who have children, say, under 12. Mm-hmm. The general parenting program, they can do that online for free. Mm-hmm. There's a program called Fearless Triple P. This is really exciting for parents, because this is parents who have children who experience anxiety. Mm-hmm. So it's also online for free. It's called Fearless Online. Really helpful for parents as well who experience anxiety. So the idea is about supporting parents with their children with anxiety, but a flow-on effect of that, it teaches parents about anxiety as well. So if they experience anxiety, it helps them understand their own anxiety. And then, of course, one we've mentioned as well, Triple P Online for Baby is available for parents now for free also online. And the website for that is www.-parenting.net.au. Or if you just type Triple P in, you'll come to it eventually. Anyway, that's TRIPLEP is Triple P. As opposed to doing three P's.
Yeah.
I suppose other things I noted, the Panda site is probably, and you probably already have that on your website.
Yep.
Certainly that's, they have a service that can support families as well.
Yeah.
It would be a really good option for any fathers listening to this who might be experiencing anxiety and depression. Even Lifeline itself could be a useful number to call also.
Absolutely. And so for anyone else as well, if you go to the Dads Group website at dadsgroup.org, you'll find a Get Support tab, and there are so you'll find Panda there, you'll find SMS for dads, you'll find Support for Fathers, and Talks, which is our free, you get one free session with a psychologist or counselor through that link there. So check those out if you need that support. One final question, Michael, and this is not one I've prepared you for, is if you could go back to yourself in the hospital, back in time, and you meet yourself in the hospital, your wife's about to have your first baby, what piece of advice would you give yourself?
If I was about to have my first child, is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
What advice would I give to me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'd say it's about... Parenting is about relationship building. Mm-hmm. It's not about controlling kids or managing kids. It's
about
how do we as adults build relationships with children. Everything goes much better when we build relationships. Cooperation goes much, much better. We enjoy being with each other, goes much better. So I'd say that to myself, that parenting is about relationship building.
I think that's great. And do you feel that has really been drawn out of the situation that you had, where there was already three kids there and you came into the scenario and you just had to build relationship? Like that was your focus.
Yeah, I was operating blind. I didn't have any great technique. I stumbled into some things that worked well, but I certainly didn't go in with an incredible plan. I mostly stumbled, but some of my natural responses sort of helped me a little bit.
Yeah.
For example, by not criticizing the other, the dad of the children, I think that was something that came quite naturally to me. I think that really helped me. But certainly I stumbled along, like we often as a parent.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming on today, mate. I absolutely loved it. There's so much rich information there, and I know it's going to help a lot of dads and families, mate. So thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Blair. Thanks so much.
And we also want to thank our listener for tuning in today. If you haven't already, go check out our website at www.dadsgroup.org. In this space, we've got some awesome resources for support for families, new and expecting families. There's a lot of mental health support there by some amazing organizations. On this website as well, you can also support Dads Group through purchasing our merchandise, or a solid donation would be amazing and help us impact the lives and of new and expecting families all around Australia. But thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Cheers, guys.